Reporting for BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Ashley Chilcutt. Joining me today is Doug Barker, the Clery Compliance Officer in the Public Safety Department here at BYU Idaho, and we're here to talk about his devotional talk called Preparing for Our Spiritual Safety. How are you doing today, Brother Barker?
I'm doing all right, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me today. Just for our listeners, could you just tell a little bit about yourself and your work here at BYU Idaho?
Well, I've been here with the university 20 years, and my main role is public safety and just protecting the students and faculty, staff, and all those that attend the university. One of my roles is teaching self-defense, also other emergency procedural things that we can keep ourselves safe.
I definitely got the sense that you had a close connection with personal preparedness and also safety as I read your talk, because that was the main theme featured in the talk, was just how to be prepared, especially now in our day. You start out by kind of listing a few of the calamities that we've seen in recent months. I know that all of those things require a certain level of preparedness. What have you learned about preparedness over the years in your position?
Well, I think we can never be prepared enough, right? And I think if this talk tomorrow would be about self-preservation and protecting ourselves and all, that's one thing. President Nelson mentioned, you know, that we have our spiritual earthquakes mm-hmm. and our spiritual flooding and different things like that. He puts it in that context that I think it's important to prepare. Like all the general authorities tell us to have a food storage, do these types of things. But right. One thing that really led me to talk about this was, are we there spiritually? Are we ready for that? I mean, because I really think in a lot of ways we can overcome and be ready and prepared for natural disasters, because we train and we talk about that quite a bit.
Right.
But when it does happen to us, are we spiritually prepared? Can we persevere? Can we, you know, still keep that faith?
Right. I think that's a really great point, that we need to be both physically and spiritually prepared. One thing that I thought about that impressed on me as I was reading is President Nelson, I'm paraphrasing here, but he encouraged us to take our vitamin pills right before the pandemic hit. And I know that would have been more of a physical preparation, but I would like to argue that if we weren't spiritually prepared to follow that counsel, our physical preparation wouldn't have come to pass, if that makes sense. And so what do you think about the relationship between our spiritual preparedness and how it affects our physical preparedness?
In my talk, I talk about muscle memory and like when we practice certain things to avoid temptation, we practice what we do in an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And I think spiritually, we have to practice the same way. We have to like every day practice getting on our knees, saying our prayers, so we're not out of practice when something happens to us. I mean, if something happens to us personally or to a family member, we know exactly what we're going to do, right? First thing we do is get on our knees and start praying for the welfare of this person or ourselves.
Right.
If we get out of that practice, we don't do it every time. It might not be the first thing we turn to.
Right.
And so spiritually, I think we have to have those processes and practice them and reading our scriptures every day and those types of things.
Right. I know I've participated in many fire drills or some kind of like physical preparedness drills. And I think in the moment, standing outside in a school line, you're not always very enthusiastic or even taking it very seriously about why is this so important? We're just standing and doing nothing. And so perhaps we have a similar attitude with our, quote, spiritual drills, right? The way we treat preparing our spirits for those trial moments. What can we do to better prepare our mindsets, I guess, to receive these healthy habits, right? Praying every day, reading our scriptures. Because we've learned about these since primary, especially if we've been members that long. And so perhaps that could be us standing outside wondering, I've heard about this so long, and maybe get a little lackadaisical in how serious we take the simple primary answers.
Well, I think what we talked about is following the prophet. You know, even though we don't see it as being a benefit to us now, it will be at some time. Mm-hmm. And if we have faith in that, and we see that in almost everything that happens in our lives, right? It might not be right now, but we practice it and we have faith in it. Prophet tells us this. Later on down the road, we go, oh, look at the wisdom in that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm glad. It's like I say in the talk about the pandemic itself. Mm-hmm. You know, why did Come Follow Me come along and be implemented into our homes?
Right.
Well, the pandemic came along, and guess what? We're relying on that in our homes. We had to have it there. So it's just that having faith in the process, even though we might not see it being effective in our lives right now, it will be at some time.
Yeah, I've definitely been able to notice some of those things as well, with the preparedness timing, I guess, of certain events that have happened within the church, such as the release of Come Follow Me. I'm curious, are you a Boy Scout by chance?
I was, yes.
So I know Be Prepared is one of their mottos or part of, you know, what the Boy Scouts follow. So would you say that that's kind of carried with you, or you think about those experiences now, or how has Be Prepared changed for you?
Well, being in law enforcement and public safety my whole life, it's Be Prepared is preventing. Mm-hmm. And preventing crime, preventing risks from happening. It's like locking your doors on your home, your personal safety, right?
Right.
If you prepare and always get in the habit of locking that door, then it's not something that you leave wide open to, you know,
right,
something or someone coming into your home that's not invited. Same thing spiritually. I mean, if you are saying your prayers, reading your scriptures, and you're keeping that door locked, basically. Mm-hmm. You're preventing something from happening down the road. So it's being prepared, but it's really about prevention.
Right. There's certain things we just can't prepare for. For example, I know you give an example in your talk about how you and your wife were headed to the temple,
right,
and your car didn't start. And that's not necessarily something you could have prepared for in the physical sense. Because your car didn't really show any signs of malfunction before that, correct?
Right.
So, in that scenario specifically, where would the preparation have been? Would it have been in your mindsets, perhaps?
Well, if I was a mechanic, you know, I probably would have had a different outcome, right?
Uh-huh.
It's not so much about your planning of that. It's where you're at in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go anyway, right? We need to still go to the temple because we'd made plans to do this. And so it's about in the moment and making that right decision. That's what we're talking about, being prepared.
Yeah, I was impressed by the choice that you guys made to walk, and it seems like it wasn't terribly far away.
It is far when you're in heels, right?
Oh,
so
I believe
it was
that.
A sacrifice for my wife to walk that far.
I've actually don't wear heels anymore in the mountains. It's just way too difficult, way too painful for my feet.
There are times when you maybe use that as an excuse, like a car didn't start, so, you know, we're going to do something else. We're supposed to go today anyway.
Right.
And so we learned something more when we got home.
Mm-hmm.
And found that the car started up, and we never had any problems with it from that point. So
We
just both knew that somebody did not want us to be in the temple that day. So we're glad that we made that choice, because today we can look back on that, and that's a spiritual strength that helps us go. You know, we're not going to let anything stop us from going to the temple.
Yeah. So in your talk, you describe that trial as the adversary perhaps getting in the way of you going to the temple that day, or kind of putting an obstacle in your path. But I was almost tempted to think about it as a trial from God, right? Maybe a test of faith, maybe God wanting to know, where are their hearts, right? Where's their allegiance?
What choice are they going to make?
What choice will they make? And so how can we know the difference between worldly opposition and God-sent trial? Because I think a lot of times they seem almost the same color, if that makes sense. And can we grow from both, from either?
I think there's going to be opportunities. Like in my talk, Father in Heaven is going to give us opportunities to act on faith and mm-hmm. stuff. And we're going to recognize that. At the time, we probably didn't recognize what that was.
Right.
But we have sense. We know what that was. And so maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was an opportunity to act on our faith. And I like to think we made the right choice that day. And many since.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't think about it until maybe until you have to give a devotional talk. And then you start looking back on, what blessings you have received and how they fit into your life.
That's so true. After I go through something a little comically challenging, it always seems that later I'm required to either use that experience to help somebody else through a trial that they're going through, or use it in a talk. So count your blessings. I guess it's a blessing in disguise.
Yes.
I was surprised at how similar the car experience that you had was with Brother Brian Atkinson's
yes.
experience, because I also had the opportunity to interview him as well, where his car wasn't going to start and he was out running errands with his son, and he was stubborn to believe that a prayer could help the car to start again, but his son decided to say a prayer anyway, and right afterwards the car was able to start. It's interesting to me how all of these little miracles seem to be kind of focused around travel, or like the vehicles or vessels that we use to move, right? And so I kind of wanted to make this an extended analogy using the same image. Vehicles, like cars, are vessels that carry us from place to place more quickly than we could on foot, right? But similarly, our bodies can be vessels used to carry the spirit to places that people need. And that is also illustrated in the example that you gave of being in the hospital. But if our spiritual vessels or our bodies malfunction or are ill-prepared for the errands of God, as I'm trying to extend this analogy, what can we expect in times of pressure or trial if we aren't prepared?
Well, I appreciate that, because that's exactly what, you know, I should have said in my talk.
Well, you can always change it.
Because just simply the fact, if you're broke down,
right,
you cannot help anybody else, right?
Uh-huh.
If your spirit is broke down and you're hurting, or there's something that's preventing you from progressing and having that faith and joy and peace that we're supposed to have, right?
Yeah.
We can't help anybody else, and we can't even get there to them.
Right.
And so we're like that vehicle. If it breaks down, we need to know either we're going to have to go on foot, or we're going to have to do something else, but we can't let that stop us.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that analogy that, you know, spiritually, physically, we're like that car, and even if it breaks down, we need to be ready to
say a prayer and make it start again.
Say a prayer and take the bus, whatever.
Right. Right, exactly. So going back to the experience, you share another one where you're in the hospital and you're
right.
feeling physically and spiritually weak. And your colleague shows up and shares a scripture with you that was able to brighten your day. I think this experience reemphasizes the need for preparing through scripture study and spiritual awareness. How might your day have been different if your colleague didn't show up to encourage you at all?
Well, I don't know if it's about my day.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was about my life.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, I needed something like that. I didn't know how it was going to come about, but it's more about what happened, not in that day, that moment, but when I realized how important the work is through other people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every single day on this campus, you know, in the church, that we really rely on other people to bless our lives. You know, we can get there, but it's difficult. And we all have those things that kind of, my car broke down, for say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in the hospital. I could not go anymore. And I really needed something like that. And it really wasn't in the moment, but it was later on, that day after day and piecing it together, that I realized that here's a man that was inspired, and he acted on it, and he helped get my car running again, basically.
Yeah, it seems like he brought the jumper cables.
Yes, he actually did, but that's the whole thing. We can do it ourselves, but it's not going to be easy, of course. We know that. but it's easier when we have people that are in tune with the spirit. And I guess that puts pressure on me, right? Because now I'm responsible for helping somebody else and continue helping somebody else.
Right.
Each of us, if we did that, can you imagine what kind of environment we would have?
Yeah.
If everybody was in tune with the spirit like that and able to bless the lives of those who are suffering or hurt or needing that spiritual lift, spiritual strength.
I have often heard that the best medicine for spiritual weakness or feeling down, right, is helping others, because you stop thinking about yourself, you stop thinking about your own trial,
right. And
you start to become Christ-like. You start to love. And I think even though it's like hardest, I feel like it's hardest to look outward when you are internally struggling or spiritually struggling. But one thing that I took away from this most recent general conference at the beginning of October is, I'm paraphrasing, I don't actually know who the speaker was, but the gist was, on the days where you don't feel like praying, on the days when you don't feel like reading your scriptures, those aren't the days you should be trying half as hard. Those aren't the days you should be giving half as much effort. Those are the days you should be trying twice as hard, because
right. Those
things are still essential and they will end up benefiting us, right? So if you don't like going to church, go to church twice as much. Yeah. Is kind of felt like the message there. Or if you don't like reading scriptures, read your scriptures twice as hard until you love to read your scriptures. And I think about that all the time now. And I wonder, do I have the faith to give twice as much when I have half as much energy, essentially?
Well, and I think along those lines, it's just doing it, just doing something.
Right.
Because I don't know anybody who hasn't said that I didn't feel like doing this or I didn't feel like doing that. I didn't feel like going to church, but I did. And I'm so glad I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that moment when they don't have to go twice as much. They just have to go. Because once they do, they go, oh, I'm so glad I did.
Right.
I'm so glad I took the time and read the scriptures today, or I'm so glad I went to church, and because then I felt the spirit. You don't hear too many people say, I didn't feel like it, and then I went, and I still wished I hadn't gone. I've never heard that.
That's true.
So
they end up having a testimony experience that increases their will to go, or their will to try, which helps them to be prepared in the future and making that decision again.
Yes.
Do you have any final thoughts about preparedness, what steps people can take, especially now?
Well, I read all the discussion board comments, and so many people, it came down to me, every single one of them. I think I've hit it someplace in my talk, but it was beautiful to see it confirmed through all these people in the discussion board, and that was prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, praying so you know what to do. You can be guided and directed. I don't know how Brother Budge that day heard him
mm-hmm.
to be inspired to come to my hospital room, but so many of them was prayer, attending the temple, fasting, putting people's names on the prayer roll.
Mm-hmm.
A huge one that everybody said was keeping your covenants that you make. I mean, if you're doing that, then you are, you have that total faith. I mean, you're going to be prepared and you're going to honestly feel that peace and safety in your heart. You're going to know. And so there's just so many examples of what people are doing out there, and it's remarkable. It's incredible to read those.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Brother Barker.
Yes, thank you.